Luke chapter 23, I'm not going to read the whole chapter tonight, but I'm done, but I'm not going to read it to start with. I'm going to be going through the chapter tonight, just looking at some things and try not to say a whole lot about each one of them, but just several things that stuck out in my mind as I read the chapter and studied it somewhat. The Bible said, "And the whole multitude," in verse 1, "of them arose and led him." I don't know after this morning if I'll ever look at that little three-letter word again the same. "They led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king.'" Let me ask you something. Are you familiar enough with the Bible to know they're lying? Jesus didn't tell them not to give tribute to Caesar. He said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's." Perverting the nation. Honey, the nation was perverted before he got there. Say amen. He wasn't perverting the nation. He was trying to help the nation of Israel. The Bible said in verse 3, "And Pilate asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And he answered him and said, 'Thou sayest it.' And then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, 'I find no fault in this man.'" How many would like to repeat that tonight? Glory to God. "He's found a lot of fault in me, but I ain't never found no fault in him." What a Savior. The Bible said in verse 5, "And they were the more fierce." Can you imagine that? Fierce. "Saying, 'He stirred up the people. He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place.' And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season." Now watch this. I want you to understand this. The word about Jesus had gotten all the way to Herod. Do you see that? What Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry was not just contained in the streets. It had went all the way to the king. It had went to Herod. Herod had heard about it. Watch what it says here. "And he had been desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him." So evidently, Brother Steve, that tells me that Herod, he didn't have any problem when they were reporting, "Hey, that blind man can see. That lame man can walk. That deaf man can hear." Yeah. Evidently, Herod didn't have any problem. I mean, because he's hoping to meet him and get to see him. He wants to see him do a miracle in his presence, is what I'm reading there. The Bible said here, "Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing." Jesus is as a sheep, Isaiah 53, "before shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." And that's the role he's in right here. Verse 9. "He questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing." Verse 10, "And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate." So Herod didn't get a response. He didn't get to see a miracle. So now, instead of hoping to see Jesus do something that's miraculous, he's mocking him. What I want you to see here is how fickle that mankind is. Do you remember when Paul was in that great storm in Acts 27 and he landed at the island of Miletus and the barbarians made a fire for him there? Do you remember that? And then they thought there that the beast, or that venomous beast, came out of the fire and latched on to Paul, and they said, "Well, in other words, he's a devil." That's what they're thinking. And then When he didn't fall down dead, they said he's a god. That's how fickle that mankind is. Herod, he doesn't know what to think. So they set him at naught, they mocked him, and they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and they sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before, they were at enmity between themselves. Seems to me like it's a strange way to make a friend, doesn't it, you? What I want to do tonight is just look at the chapter. I guess we could just call it at Calvary. And I just want to give you four or five, maybe six things that jumped out at me in the chapter when Jesus was crucified. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. And thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd clothe us in our calling and help us, Lord, to glean something tonight that would make us a better Christian this week, make us a better representative of our real home. Lord, this world's not our home. We're just passing through down here. Lord, we just thank you that our real home is up there on high. And Father, tonight I pray that you would strengthen the believer tonight. Lord, that you convict the sinner tonight. God, that you would send revival, Lord, in our day. Help us, our Lord, to be looking for you, living for you, leaning on you when you come to take us home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but what I want you to see, first of all, in the chapter right here, as we think about Calvary, is wickedness. Wickedness has been in every generation. But sometimes we act like that, man, this generation's wicked. We act like it's something that's just popped up all of a sudden. But I'm just telling you, even in the day when Jesus is being crucified, you have people right there at Calvary that are wicked. They're setting him up. It's a kangaroo court. Amen. And I know today that we have the same thing that goes on in our land and around the world today. There's wickedness on every hand. In your reading, tonight, in the reading of the Word of God, in your hearing, we talked about Herod, we talked about Pilate, we talked about those soldiers that mocked him. And beloved, tonight, I just want you to understand that wickedness is not something that's new. In Jesus' day, you remember when he was born, that Herod made a decree that all the male children from 2 years old and down were to be killed. I say this tonight, that's wicked. That's wickedness. I don't know how long ago I learned this, and it's an interesting thought. But, you know, back in the days of Moses, they killed the babies. And really, you remember that? Moses was spared by the midwife. And really, when you think about it, in a sense, it was an announcement that a deliverer is coming. Moses was a deliverer to the children of Israel. And then in the days of Jesus, they killed the babies. Are you listening to me tonight? And really, it was as if another announcement was being made. The deliverer is coming. Amen. His name's Jesus. And I wonder, even in our generation, listen to me tonight, I'm not trying to be ugly, but beloved, if we was just half, let me get the English right, if we were just half as interested, are you listening to me, in the babies that are being killed as we are the kids that are being shot in school, if we were just half as interested, I just wonder if the Lord ain't saying the deliverer's coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. And beloved, I know that, there's not a lot in the world said about wickedness, but we know that God is holy, and that, beloved, we are living in a wicked generation, and there has been wickedness in every generation. When you read the book of Psalms, they were hunting David like a dog. Wickedness in his generation. Wickedness in the world. Wickedness at Calvary. Not only did I see as I read through the chapter wickedness, but I saw in verse 28 weeping. Look in verse 28. The Bible said, "But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." I wonder as Jesus was being mocked, as Jesus was being scourged, as Jesus is on his way and they're going to compel one Cyrene, Simon the Cyrene, to carry his cross. I wonder what that weeping sounded like as he was going to Calvary. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe if we could see in our mind's eye what they were seeing. Do you understand? Jesus was their friend. Jesus, the Bible talked about Martha, and it talked about Lazarus, talked about Mary. That he was their friend. And I mean, there was a bond. There was a closeness. And beloved, listen, I believe that weeping was something to hear in that day. And Jesus says to the women here, he said, turning to them, he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me." Doesn't that sound just like Jesus? Don't weep for me, but you better weep for your children. I'll tell you something right now, I believe we'd be a whole lot more likely to have revival when there's more tears coming out of our eyes and more brokenness coming out of our heart. Our youngins are going to hell. Amen. And beloved, listen, it's not just the youngins. I mean, listen, school teachers are going to hell. College professors are going to hell. There are religious people all over the world that are going to hell. Anybody that's without Christ is going to hell. And Jesus said we ought to be weeping for our children and weeping for ourselves. And then I see, not only in the chapter did I see wickedness and I see weeping, but I see a warning. The Bible said in verse 29, Jesus comes right out of this and he said, "For why should you be weeping?" Listen to the warning. "Behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the womb that never bare and the paps that never, which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us and to the hills, cover us." Listen to me tonight. Listen, people can mock the book of Revelation. People can laugh at the book of Revelation. But honey, it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. There's a warning going on here. Even before Jesus makes it to Calvary, he's trying to sound the warning. There's a day coming. Judgment is coming. No one wants to hear that in this generation. But I don't believe you're preaching the whole counsel of God unless you're preaching judgment with the mercy, judgment with the grace, judgment with the love of God. Yes, he loves us. Beloved, really what you're looking at Calvary when Jesus is hanging there is the judgment of an almighty God on sin. That's what we're looking at when we see Jesus. What did the Bible say? If I could get started, maybe I could get it. Over there in Isaiah 53, 52, "His visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. But for we," let's see. "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him." The Bible talks about, listen, I'm not getting it exactly right, but in that text it says he was smitten of God and afflicted. Listen, the judgment of God came on the Son of God so that you and I would not have to come under the judgment of God. Smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thank God Almighty, tonight we're healed. There's a warning. The days are coming. Jesus said, they shall begin to say to the mountains, fall on us. Now listen, if you read it in the book of the Revelation, they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Amen. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. In that day, they're going to know where the judgment's coming from. They're not going to wonder, amen. They're going to know where the judgment's coming from. Said, fall on us and hide us. They're going to want to die, the Bible said, and cannot die. What a horrible state to be in. Hailstones that weigh 100 pounds. The other night, I was up here and my wife was at home, and they predicted hail, didn't they, honey? They said there was a hailstorm coming through, and my wife told me that she rushed out right quick and got her vehicle and put it in the shop up there, and because she was concerned about quarter size hail. Quarter size hail beat a vehicle all to pieces. You know that, amen. So she wanted to try to take care of her car if she could. But what would 100-pound hunks of ice falling out of the sky do? It's going to be a mess. It's coming. Jesus sounds a warning. You and I, beloved, listen, we ought to sound the warning as well. But then there's something else that I see. I see wickedness. I see weeping. I see a warning. But in verse number 40, I see a winner. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said. But the other answering rebuked him. Maybe I should read verse number 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And let me say this before I go on. At one time, both of them were saying the same thing. But Jesus, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I personally believe that was a turning point in one of those boys' heart. One of those thieves, his heart turned right there. And the word of God said in verse 40, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, here's somebody that's going to agree with Pilate. This man, I don't see any fault in him. He had done nothing amiss. That's what the word of God said. Beloved, listen. There's a winner right here. You say, preacher, how does a person win in life? They realize the truth. And they acknowledge the truth. Watch what the Bible said here. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I cannot for the life of me imagine what must have went on in that thief's heart. I can't imagine maybe the anxiety before he even spoke. Could he? Would he? Forgive me. Amen. What would he say to me? What would he say to somebody that's wasted his entire life? What would he say to somebody that's guilty of death and that deserves to die on this cross? But I tell you, you couldn't put it in any more beautiful words. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. This world has got some winners in it. Winners don't always look like winners. And losers don't always look like losers. I'm telling you right now, in the eyes of that crowd, they thought a lot more of that one that was saying, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. But in the eyes of an almighty God, he saw a winner when he looked over and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I love the song, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below or life forever when I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. This man was a winner. This man received Christ. I want you to see a welcome. Look in verse number 45. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. You say, preacher, I don't see a welcome in that verse. Well, I tell you what I believe. I believe when God rent the veil in the temple, he rent it from top to bottom. I've read about, I don't know the specifics right now, but that veil was very thick. It was not something that was easily torn, number one. Number two, it was not ripped from the bottom up. That'd be something that you'd see a man doing. Honey, it was ripped from the top down. And you say, preacher, what's God saying in that verse? He's saying, you're welcome. You're welcome in my presence. You're welcome in the throne room of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy to find grace to help in a time of need. He's saying, you're welcome now. That's what's going on here at Calvary. Beloved, listen. There could be no welcome for the likes of you and I into the presence of a holy God outside of that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. The next thing I see, just a couple more quickly, and I'll be done. Look at verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, what do those next three words say? I see a worshiper. He's an unlikely worshiper. He's the centurion. But he said, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Beloved, he was not in the majority saying that, was he, Brother Steve? He was in the minority saying that. But I'm going to tell you something. The God of heaven had let this man know something in his heart, that Jesus was a righteous man. And the Word of God said he glorified God. And all the people that came together to the sight, beholding the things which were done, they smote their breasts in return. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. Let me ask you something. I wasn't there when they nailed Jesus to the cross, but I know they did it. I know what happened. I wasn't there when he rose again the third day, but I know what happened. You say, preacher, how can you know? These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know by faith. You say, no, you hope. No, listen. We know, beloved, listen. When God, that faith is birthed in us, faith itself is a gift of God. And when God gives us faith and we can believe on Him and trust Him as our Savior, we're not, beloved, listen, hope so, maybe so, think so, but we know that Jesus died on that old rugged cross. And we should be glorifying God just like this centurion. One more thing and I'm done. Let's look at verse number 50 here. The Bible said, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. Now, you've got one man here that's a worshiper and glorified God. He was a centurion, so he's part of the Romans. He represents the Gentiles. Amen. How many is glad that Jesus tore down the middle wall of partition? How many is glad he grafted in the dogs? Said, come on, dogs, you can be part of my family. That's what the Gentiles were considered, dogs. Now look at verse number 50. The Bible said, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. Now watch this now. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. Boy, God spoke to my heart right here. I wrote the word wonder. Just think about this. The crowd's going this way. The crowd is going in wickedness. You see it in the chapter. The crowd crucify him. The crowd spitting on him. The crowd rejecting him. But the wonder, there's one man that sees things a little bit differently. There's one man here. Look at the wonder of it. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jew, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. I'll read a little bit more in just a minute. But I just want to tell you something. What God put in my heart, okay? I want to encourage our young people. We've got some teenagers and we've got some young people that's fixing to be teenagers. We've got some young people that just getting out of that teenage at 20, 21, 22 years old. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart when I read this. It's a wonder. Say amen.
It's a wonder that they're not out there, Brother David, in wickedness. It's a wonder that they have an interest in the house of God. It's a wonder, Brother Steve, that they want to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a wonder that they want to be in Sunday school when it's Sunday school time. It's a wonder that they don't want to go the way of the world. I'm just telling you, there are still some wonders if we'll look around. There's still some wonders. Thank God. They haven't all went to the dogs. There's still some precious moms and precious dads, and many of them very young. But I thank God that they're not going with the flow. They're going with the Savior of the world. I appreciate that, the wonder. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. In other words, he didn't join the crowd. He went and begged the body of Jesus. He took him down. He took it down and he wrapped it in linen. I'm going to tell you something right now. What this man's doing is speaking volumes to my heart. Most of that crowd could have cared less if he rotted, if the buzzards plucked his eyes out and ate the flesh off the bone. But here's a man, the wonder. The Bible said he took it down, he wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Let me give you this, and I'm done, about the wonder. You know what's happening here? Listen to me carefully. Prophecy is being fulfilled. There's not a lot mentioned about this prophecy. But listen to Isaiah 53. I believe it's verse number 9. The Bible said, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Honey, he was buried just exactly where Isaiah knew he'd be buried. He made his grave with the rich because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. This man right here, Joseph of Arimathea, he may or may not know it, but he's being used of God, the very God of heaven, to fulfill the will and the purpose of God on earth. And I believe it would help you and I tonight to know that the same God that used Joseph of Arimathea wants to use you and wants to use me. He has a purpose for our life and filling and fulfilling the will of God in our life. There's nothing more important. And when you find, beloved, listen, a young lady or a young man or a middle-aged man or a middle-aged lady or an older woman or an older man, when you find anybody that wants more than anything in the world to fulfill God's purpose and God's will in their life, you're looking at a wonder of wonders. Amen. We can't see him. We've never seen him, but we love him. We've never seen him, but we want to serve him. We want to do his will. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Here was a man. Now, when I look at his life, look at what he did, it causes me to wonder. Amen. I believe tonight with all of my heart, it does us good once in a while just to go back and go with Jesus to Calvary, to go and see what was being done, and helps us, beloved, to appreciate. You know, I don't say this to be ugly. The best way I know how, Brother Houston, Brother Ralph, all the vets, raise your hand if you're a vet, Brother Jim, and the best way I know how, Brother Houston, the very best way I know how, I appreciate you men and what you've done and what you've been willing to do for our country. But I tell you what I believe I'd appreciate it more if I'd have crawled through some of the brush with some of you men. Appreciate it more if the bullets was flying over my head as well as your head. How many knows what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to say, beloved, it does the Christian good, and we'll appreciate Jesus more if we'll just go back with him every once in a while and start in the garden with him and go with him to Calvary and understand, beloved, what he did for you and what he did for me. How many's glad you come tonight? Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord tonight? Let's bow for prayer. Father, it's a great joy to stand here tonight with our people. Lord, it's a great blessing to know that you care for us and you were willing, Lord, to go to that cross for us. Father, tonight, it's my prayer that we would never take for granted, Lord, what our veterans have done, that we might have the freedom that we have in this country. It's also my prayer, Lord, that we would never take for granted what you did at Calvary. Because, Lord, you said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That we might be free, Lord, from the penalty, free from the power. One day, Lord, free from the very presence of sin. Lord, we praise you tonight for that. Lord, I ask you tonight in the name that's above every name, speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.